We're back again. This is Rumor Mill News Radio on the Micro Effect Radio Network. I'm Raylan Allen, the publisher of Rumor Mill News. I'm talking with John DiNardo. We're talking about 2012. We've just finished talking about John White and his book called Pole Shift, and George Kennedy and the actor George Kennedy, who narrates a documentary called The Jupiter Menace. And we were, before we went to break, we were talking about something that another source had told me about two events coinciding. The sun flipping its poles, possibly knocking out what we now call civilization, knocking out electrical grids, water, computers, in fact, everything that is run, including the trucks that deliver the food, will be knocked out. And at the same time, Planet X comes by and literally causes the crust of the Earth to roll like the skin on a ripe peach. And so, John, I'll let you take it from where we left off.
Okay, thanks, Ray Ellen. God has shown us in so many ways from the time we were old enough to be aware of that we were individual, unique beings at an early age. We've seen all the wonderful gifts that God has given us, not only the nature around us, the beauty of nature, which is quite clearly designed by a great artist and did not occur accidentally. And then we can also see, for example, all the foods that God gave us. If you just go through a list, sit down and write down a list of all the different fruits that you have ever tasted in your life, visualize what the fruit looks like, visualize the taste of it, and then recognize the diversity of nutrition that is inherent in each of those fruits. And you wonder and you see how loving God must be to give us all these delicious and nutritious, diverse fruits. And you can just carry that recognition of God's love to our own bodies and how miraculous they are. The organs of the bodies and the miraculous functions that they perform are eyesight, the lungs, the liver, the heart, the circulatory system. Every one of them, all of it is designed with great purpose and great love. But also God gave us something else. He gave us a feeling to love, to feel compassion for others, emotion. This is something that goes beyond, you know, the mechanics of evolution, what the false notion that we evolved out of nothing but primeval soup, which surrounded the Earth billions of years ago, which is what I was told in my biology courses in college. it just goes beyond that because you have the feeling to the capacity to love, and this comes from God. You also have the capacity to feel a sense of conscience. That's what Ray Ellen has had for many years. That's what you all have had for many years, a sense of conscience. So we know that our spirit is at one with God's spirit. Even though many of us don't recognize it, God knows it, and He's constantly drawing us. He's trying to inundate us with evidence, even though He's unable to, by His own law, He's unable to connect with us physically because we're fallen. But He tries to show His love for us in other ways. It's like a father who is perfectly immaculate and without disease at all. He loves his child, but he sees his child outside of his mansion, outside of his immaculate mansion, playing in the dirt and mud filled with bacteria and disease. He knows that if he touches that child, he's going to become diseased himself. But yet, he casts out the window sustenance for his fallen child. So, but yet we still don't recognize it. If you go to Isaiah chapter 3, God is saying, "My son, what I have given, my son has given to you everything that we can imagine, all the great blessings. He has built a vineyard. He has done everything that he could possibly do to make that vineyard flourish. He has fertilized it. He has planted it perfectly. He has put up a wall of protection around it. And yet, He has harvested bitter grapes, wild grapes. He calls them wild grapes. That's what we are. We're wild from God, rebellious against God. In other words, we don't recognize him. We go off to our own loves. It's like a child tearing open Christmas presents frantically and greedily on Christmas morning, while the Father who gave the gifts stands above him, unrecognized. That's what God is telling us in Isaiah chapter 3. What more could I have done to make this vineyard prosper and proliferate, and yet it's produced wild grapes? And he says, here's what I'll do. I'll tear down that vineyard. And that's what he's about to do now, is tear down the vineyard.
Well, you know, I hate to say it, but he's got a bunch of wild grapes in his vineyard right now. And, you know, there are times that I agree with the New World Order in many ways, and I shouldn't say this, but if people just thought about it, they'd agree with the New World Order, too, that there are some people that literally need to be sent back to God for recycling. And, you know, I'm talking about pedophiles and drug users that are so far lost in drugs that there's no way they can be rehabilitated this time. They've destroyed their brains with it. They don't have the gray matter left to be rehabilitated. And then we've got a whole bunch of other people, you know, the power-hungry ones, the sadists. Wow.
Well, God is now sorting people out, and through fear, and you know, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We see in Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter 9. And so through fear, God is still in his love, offering his hand, even to the most degenerate person, the most evil people on earth today, are given the opportunity by this loving God to come back to him. And it's very easy to do, to come back to him. It's a mind relationship. We cannot have a physical relationship with God. The only kind of relationship we can have is a mind relationship. And what I try to do every day is to feel the presence of God and let his mind guide my mind. I'm the student, he's the professor. I just, you know, in an auditorium, in a lecture hall, you have people, you know, filling the entire lecture hall, listening to this one, you know, eminent professor speak on a particular subject. Nobody dares get up and start talking to the professor while he's talking. They just sit there and they eagerly listen so they can learn. They desire to learn. And this is what I try to do. I try to just feel the presence of God as I'm going about my daily activities, whether it be mundane activities or what. I try to just feel his presence, because I know our limited human minds cannot do two things at once. You cannot pray to God and give him a whole laundry list of things you want to say to him while you're trying to add up, do your taxes. You know?
That's absolutely right.
You're trying to write a letter to your aunt in New England.
You know, one of the things I'd like to say, my husband Gunter was pretty well informed on mind control, the type of mind control that the United States government uses on people. He was trained how to mind control people, and he also had it used on him with, you know, horrific results. But one of the things that he says is, if you have a one-on-one connection with God, a straight, direct connection to our Father, that you can come out of your mind control completely by yourself.
That's wonderful. I mean, so I'm so glad you said that. Because remember, these demonic spirits that work through men, evil men, evil leaders on this earth, who like the leaders of the CIA, these people who worship Satan, they literally worship Satan, don't have the power that God has, because God created all beings, including these spiritual fallen angels that are worshipped by the leaders of this world. God is the creator of all of them, so he can overcome any impediments that are placed upon us from the evil forces. Absolutely. And it's very simple. God says, you know, in the Bible, if you look at the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find that the Lord, the God, our Savior, the one who came to earth 2,000 years ago, he says that my yoke is easy, my burden is light. What he means is, and I never understood it until I started to develop this mind relationship, but the yoke is simply something that's a relationship where you are constantly like a brother or a son to your father, and you're walking with him throughout the day. You just don't go out into the field to hunt and to bring back food and or harvest your crops by yourself. You go out with your father, and he's alongside of you. You're doing all the work. You can't see him, but you just recognize and feel his presence. Make it a conscious effort to feel his presence as you're going about your daily activities. And in so doing, you are relating to him. You are praying. It's actually passive prayer. It's wonderful. Nobody ever teaches you that. No preacher will ever teach you that. They teach you to pray, get on your knees, and all that is of Satan. Because if they force you to go through structured rules as to how to pray, then you're never going to pray, and Satan loves that.
So you're telling our listeners, and I know that you have a very strong relationship with God, but you're telling our listeners that most of the religions who tell you, who tell people exactly what to believe and what to do and how to talk to God, they're servants of Satan?
They're servants of Satan. Anytime you have a pastor, no matter how well-meaning, many of them are well-meaning, they want nothing more than to teach you about God. They desperately want to bring you to God, the Savior, Jesus. However, they don't realize themselves, because remember, these demonic spirits, these fallen angels, are far more powerful than the human mind. They know how to deceive the human mind.
Absolutely.
What they tell to deceive the pastor into believing is, you are the leader of this flock. You have to guide them. But in so doing, the pastor becomes the crutch, and the person in the pews, in the congregation, becomes the cripple for life, the spiritual cripple. He cannot walk on his own toward God. He needs that pastor to take him there every Sunday morning for 1 hour.
Wow. Okay.
So he becomes a spiritual cripple. Satan has won. Satan is victorious, because that person does not have a true relationship with God in the mind relationship. And then when he dies, as we all will die, and goes before his spirit, goes before God, the Savior, God will say, depart from me, I never knew you. That's in the scriptures. Depart from me, I never knew you. Well, what is knowing? Knowing is talking, like I'm talking to you. I never knew you, Ray Allen, really.
Right.
Until I started talking to you just now.
Oh,
I knew you a little bit through email.
Right.
With a warm feeling of friendship, but now we know each other because we communicate. Well, you can do the same thing, and I can do the same thing with God simply by feeling his presence, not knowing what he's all about. And he says, don't worry, I'm the professor. I'll teach you. You sit there next to me, and and I will embrace you and teach you everything. Just feel my presence.
John, I've got to share a story with you about God. Do you know a man named Jack Shulman? He worked for Bell Labs at one time, and he is an inventor of computers and software, and his company was supposed to be the rival with IBM and Microsoft. Does that name Jack Shulman?
No, it doesn't, but it sounds like a really amazing person.
Yeah, he is. And he's someone like you that has a really open mind. Well, he and I were speaking in Denver at one of the Global Science Congresses, and a woman came up and introduced herself to me and to Jack, and she said that God had told her how to create something. She really didn't know what she had created, and she said that she wanted Jack and I to take a look at it. So we went over to her house, and we found, 30, 40 computers in a circle, all hooked up together, running some sort of program. You could see the program that was running on each of the monitors, and it was the same exact program running over and over. And so you can imagine how much money she had invested in this, with all of these computers in a circle. And then there was even more. She had a massage table underneath a pyramid that was made out of metal. And she said that when you sit on this massage table or lie up on this massage table, your wishes will be granted. And I said, okay, I'm going to jump up there and I'm going to have a talk with God. And so I said, okay, God, I order you to come here and talk to me right now. And I sat there and it was like nothing was happening. So, you know, I got off the table and Jack went in. And maybe about 20 minutes later, Jack comes to the door, white as a ghost, and says, the big guy's in there. The big guy's in there. And she and I said to each other, the big guy, what do you mean, Jack? Do you mean God? And Jack says, yes. And so I said, oh, my God, God has come. I walked in there, and literally there was a blue circle above the table. And without even thinking, I leaped on the table, sat in a lotus position within that blue circle, and yes, I had direct communication with God. It was just wonderful. The feeling was so wonderful.
Wow, this is just such an amazing story.
And you know, if it had happened to me by myself, nobody would believe me. But Jack Shulman saw it, and this woman whose name I cannot remember now, she was there too when it happened.
Wow, maybe you can get together with them and try to recount that story, right?
And, yeah, write it up. Interestingly enough, when I first started Rumor Mill News, one of my agents totally ripped Jack Shulman up one side and down the other, and he threatened to sue me. So I'm not really sure if he thinks I'm the best person in the world.
Well, it wasn't your fault, though, right? It was someone else.
It was someone else, yes.
Yeah. Well, it might be a good idea to get in touch with him and explain the truth of what happened, and reestablish your friendship with
him. Yeah, see if...
Same time, get together, and perhaps you can write a coordinated paper on your experience. That would be a wonderful thing.
It would be, and we are right at the break time again. We're talking about God. We're talking about how everyone needs a one-on-one relationship with our Father in Heaven. This is Raylan. You're listening to Rumor Mill News Radio, and our guest is John DiNardo. We're talking about 2012. Don't go away. And we're talking with John DiNardo here on Rumor Mill News Radio. This is Raylan Allen. I'm the publisher of Rumor Mill News. Go over to rumormillnews.com, click through to the reading room, and you will see a whole list of the books that John, the books and films that John has told us about, and you will also see his email address. So, John, we're talking about why it is important for each and every human on earth to have a one-on-one relationship with God, not going through Jesus, because you and I both know that the Romans got a hold of Christianity. And in my heart, I can't tell you that... Let's just say I am more comfortable in my own being going directly to God because I know he exists. And I don't know if the version that Emperor Constantine of the Roman Empire gives us of Jesus is really the real version.
Oh, no.
Is really the real Jesus.
Man has always corrupted the Gospels, the good news of God, our Savior, who came to earth 2,000 years ago. And remember, Satan is the enemy of eternal life. Satan doesn't want you to have eternal life. God came to this earth 2,000 years ago and says, I've come to save you. And man figured, well, I don't need to be saved. God says, you don't understand. I have to save you. But now what happened was man took that, but Satan working through man, just like Satan works through the Illuminati. Who do the Illuminati worship? They call him Lucifer. They will never call him Satan because that's an insult. Satan means, to them it's an insult, but to God it's the truth. Satan means in Hebrew, the adversary. He became the rebel, the adversary of God, and therefore his name was changed from Lucifer, the light bearer, to Satan, the adversary. Satan, the adversary, has powerful, these spiritual beings exist. They are invisible, believe me. There are many people, scientifically minded people too, who are showing us of the dimensional barriers that now exist, have always existed, that keep us from seeing these spiritual beings, these fallen angels. But they exist and they're all around us right now. They have always worked in men's minds. They control men's minds. They are the fathers of mind control. They allow men to think certain ways, like the pastors I was telling you about, who think have a moral obligation by God to lead their congregations, when in fact Satan is deceiving them into thinking, deceiving them into making cripples out of their congregation, so that they will never have a spiritual one-on-one relationship with God, and therefore they will never live eternally after their life on this earth is over. That's how Satan deceives. And he's done that with all the Catholic religion. He's done that with the Protestant religion, all the so-called Christian churches throughout history. All the religions, the Islamic religion, you name it, the Judaic religions. This is how Satan deceives people. But what we have to do is, just as you have said, Ray Ellen, if you don't know that God came to save us 2,000 years ago, that's fine. That's fine. Just talk to God, and don't have to even call him Jesus. You can talk to God the Father, because just think of it this way. If Jesus, God the Savior, I don't even like to use the word Jesus because it's totally misunderstood. In Hebrew, it means, translated to English, it means God is our Savior. That's what the name Jesus means when translated to through Hebrew, Yeshua, to the English. It means God is our Savior, and that's why he was given that name, the scriptures tell us. Well, anyway, you don't have to know that Jesus, God, that came as Savior 2,000 years ago. Just call him God. Say, God, I feel your presence. I know you're with me. I don't know what to say, but I know that you will speak to my heart as I go through my daily activities. And as time goes by, he will reveal his character to you. And you will see that that character is the very same character that you read about in the four Gospels, of that person who came to earth 2,000 years ago. So the name and the personality is not as important as knowing the character of the God that you are communing with. And you will know him because he will teach you as you walk side by side with him in your mind throughout each day.
Yes, that has definitely been true. That's why I said earlier that earlier in the program today, that I feel that I'm on a mission, and I'm on a mission from God. And my mission is to find the truth.
For the truth.
No matter what the truth is.
Yeah, your zeal for the truth exemplifies your communion, your calling from God. You have a calling from God. You know, before I learned about the New World Order, before I had a zeal for the truth, I was like anybody else. I just cared about my own personal life, my own ego, what I could get, you know, the things I could acquire. I was just like everybody, like most people. And then God worked in my life. Back in the early days of the Internet, when the Internet was in its infancy, and I worked at Bell Laboratories, almost got fired for spending too much time with the Internet and bringing out the truth. But what happened is I became aware through Jewish activists, Jewish humanitarians, of all the atrocities that were being perpetrated against the Palestinians that were being covered up in the mass media. I was shocked and horrified to hear about these atrocities being committed routinely against the entire Palestinian people. I changed from a selfish and self-centered person to a person who was obsessed with bringing out the truth and exposing these evil people, these evil deeds. As a result, the hunger, what Jesus says, God the Savior says in Matthew chapter 5, he says, "Blessed is he who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, for he shall be filled." And I found out later on that that's what God was doing to my heart. He was giving me a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. He was opening my heart to love for other people, which I had never had before. This was God who was working in me. Up to that point in my life, I always hated Jesus. Now, later on, I'll tell you why I hated Jesus. There was, you know, what seemed to be superficial, apparent reasons why I hated him, but there were deeper spiritual reasons, and those deeper spiritual reasons were fallen angels, satanic spirits, unclean spirits that God the Savior talks about in the four Gospels, that inhabited Mary Magdalene, that inhabited other people. spirits whom he cast out. I had those same evil spirits in me that caused me to hate Jesus. But he brought love
and you can hear the music and
for others.
You can hear the music. We'll take this up on the other side of the music. We're talking to John DiNardo. We're talking about 2012, and this part is about God, because God will help you get through 2012, and we will be right back. I'm talking with John DiNardo, who in the first hour probably scared you to death with his explanation of what is going to happen in 2012, and then I added my own explanation, which should scare you even more. And yet he believes, as I believe, that God will, he's going to separate the wheat from the chaff.
Yes, God will protect those who come to him. For example, in the Bible, in the book of Joel, if your listeners could just remember this, Joel chapter 2, Joel 2, here's what God says. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. That means he's going to save you. He's promising to save you. And it says the same thing in many other places of the Bible. Planet X is definitely indicated in the Bible. I have done research, but most of all, I have gotten spiritual feelings and thoughts from God. I never hear his voice. That's, you know, nobody hears his voice. I don't. But I get thoughts that are guiding thoughts from God. And he has shown me places in the Bible where Planet X is actually predicted. And I'm going to find one that is specific. There's a couple of them, but one that specifically, I think I was God allowed me to be the first person in the entire world, I'm sure, to ever ferret out this one particular hidden meaning.
That's amazing.
Ferreted out other meanings. See, God uses many people, not just one. He uses others to find other things in the Bible that show of these, you know, somewhat mysterious coming prophecies. But here in Isaiah chapter 63, God, I guess, chose me to be the only person who's ever found this. Isaiah chapter 63, it talks about this red object that's coming from the sky. And again, it's not me, but I just got this feeling because I was praying and asking God to help me understand this in Isaiah 63, where it says, I'm trying to find it now, that this red bloody thing will come from the sky. It's kind of horrifying, if I can get there. But here it is. Starting verse 1, chapter 63 of Isaiah. Nobody ever understood this, incidentally. All your Bible translators who took the Hebrew, it was impossible for any man to understand what God was saying here because it just didn't make sense. It was totally ridiculous. So what they did was they tried to stretch it and make it fit. You know, you take a square peg,
mm-hmm.
and all you got is a round hole. So what are you going to do? You take a razor blade and you start shaving the corners off of that square peg until it fits into the round hole. So you say, and that's what the Bible translators did when they translated from the Hebrew to the English. Even the Jewish translators, they didn't know. So they said, well, here's what it said. Well, I'm going to read it to you, what they said, and then I'm going to read to you what I found from studying the Hebrew definitions of the actual Hebrew words, not the English words, but the original Hebrew words that God dictated into the mind of his prophet Isaiah. Okay, first I'm going to read you the English translation. Who is
okay.
that cometh from Edom? Edom is the red planet. Edom, Esau, the red. Who is this that cometh from Edom? And we're speaking of something red now. With dyed garments from Basra, dyed red. This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. This, you know, after studying this, you can see that, I can see anyway, that this is talking about a large celestial object coming toward earth, traveling in the greatness of his strength. It is I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Note the word save. He's coming to save again. He came to save once before, 2,000 years ago. He's coming to save again. Verse 2, wherefore, meaning, or in other words, why are you red? why are you red in your apparel, and your garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat, someone who's been stomping the grapes? Why are you all full of red blood, grapes spattered all over you? I have trodden the winepress alone, and the people, and of the people, there was none with me. In other words, he's saying, no one was perfectly righteous. I'm the only one. I tried to find someone on earth who was, but no one was perfect. So I'm alone. I've trodden the winepress alone. For I will tread them in my anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Wait a minute. He's going to kill a lot of people, but he's going to save some. He's going to redeem some. This is the saving that I was referring to.
Okay, now who is actually writing? Is that
God
speaking?
This is God the Savior dictating into the mind of Isaiah what to write, just like he put thoughts into my mind about when I first heard of Planet X. Immediately I had this flash. It's true. It's true. I didn't know what Planet X was. All I knew was it's coming toward Earth to wreak destruction, and immediately I knew it was true. That was a thought that God planted in my mind. In his prophets, he chose these men to write this down for you, Ray Allen, for me, and for everybody throughout history, because it was going to be God's word to everyone throughout the coming ages. So this is God the Savior speaking, dictating his thoughts into the mind of Isaiah. He's saying, I'm coming, I'm going to trample the grapes, and I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. That means none righteous. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury. This is God the Savior speaking. And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed. He's redeeming them. God the Savior is going to redeem them. The year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help. In other words, none righteous. And I wondered that there was none to uphold righteousness, that is. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation. There's the word salvation. When was it written? 650 B.C. Salvation. But we thought salvation only came with Jesus 2,000 years ago. No, 650 B.C. he wrote,
and have you ever looked up,
brought salvation unto me.
Have you ever looked up the origins of the word salvation?
Yeah, I can look it up in the Strong's Concordance. I can do that, but I'm sure it means exactly what we're talking about. See?
Well, it means to be made whole again.
Wow. Well, that's,
isn't that an incredible?
We are broken, sure, on this earth.
Absolutely, and God is going to save us. He's going to make us whole again.
You know what, Ray Allen? He's going to make us like him, whole again. That's right, holy, pure, and righteous.
Yeah.
Perfect. He is going to, it's just amazing. And he goes on, that's a wonderful insight, Ray Allen. That really is. I'll have to look into that more and pray more about it. Now, verse 6 of Isaiah 63. And
right.
I will tread down the people in mine anger and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. There's the mistranslation, strength to the earth. I did an exhaustive study and prayer of these words. I didn't know what I was doing. God gave me this inspiration. Look up, he said, the thought came to me. Nobody said anything. I didn't hear a voice, but it said, the thought came to me with a powerful force. Look up the word strength. And sure enough, I found it was not strength at all, but it was something different. The numbers in the Strong's Concordance are Strong's Index numbers 5331, 5329, and 5332, I believe. Let me get my concordance here. Look it up for you. In the Strong's Concordance of the Hebrew language, we're going to look up the actual original Hebrew words.
For salvation.
Not what the misguided, confused
right.
translators put in, who tried to shave the corners off that square peg and put it into a round hole. But it's, as I recall, 53...
Because the book that I found it in was an old English or old French dictionary. Because I can't
salvation.
Remember what the origins, if it was old English or French.
You mean the English, the word salvation?
Salvation, yeah. It may have even been Latin, now that I think about it.
I'm going to have to look that up. I'm glad you told me about it. I never thought about looking it up, but that's... See, God works through many of us. He's working through
you, too. Lord, he sure does. Hold on. Salvation is coming as soon as we get back. John's going to find it for us. This is Raylan on Rumor Mill News Radio, and John DiNardo and I will be right back with your salvation, or at least the definition of it. We're talking with John DiNardo, and we are talking about how God is going to separate the wheat from the chaff and lead those who have a working and ongoing relationship with him to safety when 2012 happens. And we left you by talking about the word salvation, and online I cannot find the meaning for it that I found in some of the old dictionaries that I have. I have invested lots of money in ancient dictionaries, you know, some from the, I want to say Middle Ages, but that's not quite true. My oldest one is about 1880.
Well, maybe one of our callers will call in. I have it in my Strong's Concordance right here, and I can look it up. But, you know, this book, this word, this is the most amazing. Isaiah 63, verse 6. If your listeners could jot this down, Isaiah 63, 6, the word strength, somehow God, I got a feeling from God somehow that I should look up the word strength, and sure enough, because it just didn't make sense what I was reading. So I looked up the word strength, and it's Strong's Concordance, the index number 5332. It says, here I'm going to read it right from the dictionary of the Hebrew language, is the Strong's Concordance number 5332. It says, quote, probably identical with Strong's number 5331, which says, through the idea of brilliancy of color, juice of the grape as blood red, blood, strength. Okay, so you get this idea of thick grape juice blood, okay, red, bright red blood. Now it says just like 5331, so okay, let's go to 5331, which they say was the origin of 5332 definition, okay, very similar origin. Properly means a goal, G-O-A-L, a goal. In other words, the bright object at a distance traveled towards. This is from the Hebrew dictionary. I'm not saying this myself. I'm reading exactly what the Hebrew dictionary says about this word, strength, in Isaiah 63:6. It says, properly, a goal. In other words, i.e., the bright object at a distance traveled towards. That is planet X. It's a bright object. It turns red. The ancients told us that it lights up and glows red as it's coming toward the earth. That's exactly what God is telling us in 650 B.C. as he dictated his thought into the mind of Isaiah and said, I'm going to bring my blood red object from a distance toward its goal, which is planet Earth. And that I have unraveled the gross mistranslation of Isaiah chapter 63, verse 6. I wrote a whole paper about it. I've got to put it on a Word document, and I want to email it to you so you can study it in depth, because I took a lot of pains to elaborate on this very carefully, I feel, academically.
Is that your paper that is up on clayandiron.com?
Yeah, I gave it to Dr. Bill Deagle.
Okay.
You might have posted it up there. Did you find it?
I've got it.
Find it.
I've got it, and I'm posting it right now.
It does it say Planet X in Isaiah 63?
It starts off with, this is the first time ever that God has unveiled this astounding and ominous declaration from his word, the Bible. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 6. And it has your name at the bottom.
That's it.
Yeah, I will post it right now, and everybody can go in and find the thread to all of these incredible things that I am posting. And it's going to be right there.
It is, Ray Ellen, this is the most astounding and frightening, but yet exciting. I mean, I have so many mixed emotions, powerful emotions, just from this particular experience of unearthing this. And I know it was a spiritual adventure, but he's telling us, God is saying, this planet is coming towards you, and it's a blood-red planet. And I'm going to bring it to Earth, and I'm going to kill a lot of people. He says, I'm going to trample them and their blood is going to be spattered all over my clothing.
Wow.
I mean, and he, it's not just metaphorical, it's not just a vague poem, but he actually specifies that he's going to do it by bringing this blood-red object from a distance. I urge everybody to go through Isaiah chapter 63, verses 1 to 6. And it's bright. It says it's coming from a distance away. It's bright. And it's traveling toward its goal. Its goal. And the last word of Isaiah 63 is earth. So its goal is planet earth. You couldn't get any more specific than that as to God's prophesying, his delivering of Planet X, his launching of Planet X toward planet Earth to destroy it. And we've seen it throughout history. He has done it cyclically. Now, here's another amazing thing. I cannot even begin to express the amazing revelations here, that God has done this three or four times in the past or more, probably more than that. I'm going to tell you real quickly without getting into the details. I'll try to develop these ideas right now, but I'll tell you briefly. I'll give you the bottom line.
Okay.
The creation was around, the creation of mankind, Adam and Eve, was around 11,000 B.C. Okay? The sinking of Atlantis was around 8,600 to 9,000 B.C. by Planet X coming in. It didn't hit, doesn't hit Earth. It passes. It's like a duster ball, like a pitcher would pitch a duster ball at the batter. And
right.
Cause the batter to knock them all, fall over. It doesn't hit them, but it comes close. It comes like 15 million miles away, which is pretty close. And by that gravitational and electrical influences at that close proximity, it causes tremendous devastation to Earth. So the first destruction was the sinking of Atlantis. Scientists like Brent Miller and others tell us it was around 8,600 to 9,000 BC. Now, I want to ask you to do a little arithmetic here. The next destruction, the next incursion of this bust on its route into out of our solar system on its long elliptical orbit around a distant sun 50 billion miles away, and then back again like a clothesline, like a clothespin on a clothesline, or like a little link on a bicycle chain. It comes around a distant sun and comes back into our solar system to our sun, circles around our sun, and in so doing it crosses the orbits of all the planets and causes devastation on all the planets at a distance, not by hitting them, but by what in physics is called action at a distance. You find this is a very common term if you Google it, action at a distance. It's in all your physics books. It means you take a magnet, for example, two magnets close together, and put them an inch or so apart, and one magnet will pull the other toward it. It will, in fact, pull it so that one magnet swings around so that its opposite pole will be attracted to the attracting magnet. That's called action at a distance. Here's another example of action at a distance. You're sitting in a tree, and then all of a sudden you fall out of the tree, or an apple falls out of the tree and hits you on the head. That's action at a distance, gravity. Gravity, the force of gravity between the center of mass of the Earth acting upon the mass of the apple. That force pulled the apple down toward the center of the Earth, and that's how it fell to the ground. That's why we have gravity. These are examples of action at a distance. Similarly, on a macrocosmic scale, this huge planet, which is estimated to be, by Dr. Robert S. Harrington, the late and suspected assassinated chief astronomer of the U.S. Naval Observatory, who was about to reveal to the world that Planet X indeed exists and is coming in. He's proven that it's incoming into our solar system. We believe that he was murdered. Many researchers believe that he was murdered. And I'm going to tell you, I don't care what McCanny thinks, but I have him on tape saying that, you know, Harrington died. Harrington died because he started talking about this, so I'm not going to talk about it too much. He said something like that. I have him on tape saying that a long time ago on the Lou Gentile show.
Well,
but
you know,
I wouldn't talk about it. I mean, he talks about it a lot, and I give him a lot of credit, but how much can you say, you know, and still remain safe?
I have to agree. And, you know, I'm still alive, so maybe the sort of things that you and I say, you know, maybe we're not experts. And it's only the experts killed when they say it.
That's right. That's why they killed Dr. Harrington, I believe. But
yeah, I agree.
Lots of people, I mean, not only McCanny, I mean, there are others that who suspect that Dr. Robert S. Harrington, chief astronomer of the U.S. Naval Observatory, was cancer-sided, actually. And you're familiar with that form of elimination, cancer sighting.
No. Oh, cancer sighting. Oh, absolutely. CIA cancer.
Right. Yeah. It's not funny, but that's what they did to Mae Brussels.
Well, I think they did that to my husband, Gunter, also. Because suddenly he lost his memory of me, marries somebody else.
Oh, they did that with people. They've done that with minds, too. They can warp a person's mind at will.
Oh, absolutely. And then he died a very slow, painful death of liver cancer.
Oh, horrible. And you know, there's no reason to believe that he contracted these diseases or these mental conditions, you know, randomly.
Yeah,
we know that it's all by design. I mean, it's happened to, they did it with Mae Brussels, the famous researcher. They put radioactive materials in her food. And, you know, they can creep into your home at will. And, well.
I know that only too well. When I was finally successful in getting Gunter out of prison, and we were staying in a hotel back in St. Louis, I got a telephone call from one of his bosses, and the boss said, don't eat anything in the refrigerator. Throw it all out. And so I was just beginning to throw it all out when the guy that made the phone call knocked on the door, and I had just at that moment discovered little tiny pinholes in the bottom of every single egg in my refrigerator.
Wow.
And the pinholes were sealed up with what looked like super glue. You know, that glue that... Well, anyway, he took everything and had it all analyzed, and there were only two things that had been tampered with, and it was the eggs, and, you know, I made omelets for us for breakfast every morning. So my mother, my husband, my cat, and I all would have died.
Wow.
And the other thing that was tampered with was a box of dry cereal. I don't know, I want to say it was Captain Crunch. It was something that Gunter loved to eat by the handful. And he had just had unnecessary quintuple bypass surgery, which was meant to kill him, heart surgery.
Unnecessary, imagine.
Unnecessary,
that.
Of course. And the box of cereal had twice the amount of niacin in it that a person should take at one time. And, you know, I'm not sure if that would have killed him if he had eaten it, but it probably would have induced a heart attack. And you can hear the music. We're coming up to 1 o'clock, and we've got one more hour with John DiNardo. We're talking about Planet X and God. And we will be right back on Rumor Mill News Radio on the Micro Effect Radio Network.